There we go. Sorry, go ahead.
Hello.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Good, good.
Have you got morning hair as well?
Yes. Well, I'm yeah.
Sorry.
I had a question, and then it changed. The whole topic changed when I was listening to Eileen, and I thought, oh, I'll ask a question based on that, and then you ended up answering it. So now I'm stuck sort of questionless.
That's okay. That's absolutely okay.
What you were talking about, what Eileen and you were talking about, is very similar to what's been experienced here in the last few weeks. And you even sort of mentioned it in an email. It's been sort of quiet. It's sort of like, best way to describe it is like, the sky is finally beginning to realize that it doesn't have to be scared of the storm cloud. It's finally realizing that it, not only that, it's actually, I dare say, enjoying the storm cloud. Like just sort of letting it be, and I never had to be scared of it. So why not just, you know, enjoy what it does? And so it's just sort of just, what's the way? Immersing itself into the moment of it.
All that makes you you, storm clouds and all.
Yeah. Yeah. And just sort of, so the way I want to put it also is just finding peace in the no peace. So even if the mind acts up and does some kind of mental pattern that it usually does, you know, just going back to the noumenon, it's not even trying to get rid of it.
No.
It's not even trying to. It's actually sort of, you know, it wants to, you know, it's in this body to do that. So it's just sort of doing it.
Yeah, it's not wrong from the viewpoint of the self. Whatever the mind is doing is not wrong, is it? Or to be gotten rid of or any of that. It just doesn't apply from that perspective. The silence is not telling you that you're supposed to be having more positive thoughts or less of this or more of that. It's just not so.
Yeah, and you know, I spent 25 years thinking that I had to pick a side in trying to get rid of one.
You and me both.
through therapy, through different types of things that I was trying to do, and just realize, like, the sky is just enjoying the storm cloud. Oh, what a novel realization. But the question that I had, though, is more along the line of Ian's thing, sort of like it's more conceptual, in that if what the noumenon is, what I am, is before thought, is before manifestation, that seems to be known here. But doesn't that denote time? So, I mean, there's just knowing that if all the objects of the universe somehow disappeared, the beingness that I am still exists. And I've heard before that, you know, what you are is before thought.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't that denote time? So what is really going on there?
Just fill in the gap as to how you think it denotes time, are you asking? I'm not quite sure how you...
Well, the word before, what you are, I've heard that many times.
Yeah.
What you are is before thought, before this manifestation. So doesn't that denote there's a you, and then there's manifestation that appears? So that denotes some kind of sense of time, or is that still conceptual? Is all this still conceptual?
Is there any time at all without any form? And if it's just pure unmanifest awareness, silence, no forms or shapes it's taken yet, is there any time?
You're right. Time would only begin to exist in the appearance of change.
With the appearance of form comes distance and space and, you know, distance between two bodies and time it would take to travel that distance. And so we say before manifestation, but it's a concept, isn't it? As in, mind can only perceive that there was something before manifestation, even for creation, for the appearance of all this. but it's not, it's before, during, and after, isn't it? It is probably another way to say it. It's just not subject to time at all in its purest
form.
There's
like this intuitive sense of knowing that it's all squeezed together. It's all like together, really. It's not really anything delineated into a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, it's like the unmanifest potential of all that is, the silence is just here always, and it's everywhere. And then it appears, it takes a shape as a human being, and the human being gets to a point and it sets in where it recognizes, oh wait, but I am the unmanifest source of all existence. And then it says, and I existed before the body, but the word before is only relevant to the body. There's no meaning at all for that unmanifest silence, does it? It just doesn't mean anything there. Before, during, or after is just concepts in the that we can use to. Or you could say, Srinivasagadatta Maharaj used to say, time appears when the body appears. And I thought that's a really great way to put it. Time starts when the body starts and ends when the body ends. And then there is the timeless there behind that, underneath that, inside that, constantly, not changing.
Did you also make the analogy of that the body is like a prism to white light?
Yeah.
That the light, the white light is the noumenon, the body is the prism. So when it hits the prism, it's now seems to be separated into all these other colors, but they're not really separated, are they?
Yeah, you take the pure white light coming in from a light source, or you know, through the window here now, and you shine it through a glass prism, which the analogy there is the unmanifest self. It hasn't taken any shape yet or anything. You shine that light through the body, which is the prism, and it refracts the light into all these rainbow shades. The rainbow shades being thoughts, you know, subtle perceptions, thoughts, emotions, the body itself, experiences, finances, world, relationships, planets as a whole, the universe.
Yeah.
They all look to be different, but they're all refractions of the one light, you know, sort of emanating. So when the body arises, there's a reference point. There seems to be a start there, isn't there? There seems to be a time when the body starts and a time when the body ends. But from the perspective of the formlessness, the silence, that doesn't mean anything. It's really arbitrary when the body arises, because they're arising everywhere all the time, different bodies coming and going and all of that. And the whole thing is really, if I'm referencing only one body as mine, then I really believe that something started when the body, this body came, and that something will end or change when it goes. If I'm recognizing I'm looking through every pair of eyes, I can know that because I know I'm everywhere. Then the before and after, it all gets a little bit fuzzy and not quite so relevant.
Yeah. And also when you said right now to Ian, like you were waiting to feel like you were everywhere, but you realized that would never really be in a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, that struck me, because there is a knowing, and I guess it does, I want to say it causes some kind of reaction in the body, but then when you try to describe what it is, you can't. I can't.
Yeah. It's just the knowingness I'm everywhere excludes the possibility of any other thing, and that's total absence, reflects the total absence of fear in the body. And then, you know, that's, you can imagine that a total absence of fear is going to appear as bliss or peace or love or something like that, isn't it? Some much higher frequency.
Yeah, that's the way I would put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Good.
Right. Good, good. Okay. Thank you.
Good conversation. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. We'll go to Diane.
Good morning, afternoon, good morning. Evening, whatever time
whichever.
It is where you are.
All of the above. Yeah.
I just want to take a minute and really be in the gratitude that I have for this sharing this morning, for all the questions. And just to have such a profound opportunity to be with individuals who are so drawn to truth, it's really what my life is about. It's what it's been about. And it's just a wonderful thing to be here with all of you and with you, Helen, for facilitating all of this. I've had a couple of things come to mind during the discussion. So I have this like default ejector button thing that you were talking about where like I went out.
I'm done now. And, get me out.
Yeah. And my mind does go to suicide, which I know isn't really a thing. Like, I'm sorry. I can't kill myself.
Only the body.
And like my first experience of understanding and like really knowing this was when I was a teenager. And I really thought about, you know, how the ways I could just kill myself. And I was like, yeah, but that would just kill my body. And that would just, and then I would still be stuck here with my problems.
That's the thing, Diane, that pushed me right through to liberation. Like I am.
And I was just like,
oh God, there's only one way through this, and this is to go through this right to the end, out the other side. You know, there's just no way around it. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. And, but it really, you know, it was like, I'm already here. And there's like, if there wasn't the, there's a lot of people in the world that don't have any reason to be alive. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of individuals that are suffering so deeply. Well, what keeps us going is the life.
This life. Conversation that's going on now, this group, this family that is committed to truth, is also, you know, we're realizing to whatever degree we're realizing on this course in life in general. But the major side effect of a group of, there's 21 of us right now on this call, all resonating in truth to some degree, that is sending out a powerful, powerful energy around the world, lifting up all of humanity wherever they're at. And there are those beings that will be feeling desperate and lost and that they just can't go on. That's the nature of duality. What we're doing here is so important. It cannot be underestimated. Just one being waking up fully, full liberation affects the entire planet. Mm. If everyone on this course takes a leap forward, it's going to send out a tidal wave, a tsunami, to just a gentle nudge to everyone that they are loved and they are safe and they are accepted and they are wanted and they are worthy, right, and all of that.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with any of it. There's nothing wrong with any of the suffering or any of the elation. It's how life expresses. So that's my first thing. I also had, just when you were talking maybe to Ian, I was thinking of like being a camera lens, like the real, there's so many, I'm not a photographer, but I see people doing that really micro imaging. And then, but the same lens can see the panoramic view too. Mm-hmm. When it zooms out, it's open for everything. But when it zooms in, it has a different job. It's just zeroing in on that thing.
Yeah.
But the lens isn't really affected by the subject of its observation. It just moves. It does its job. And I think as ego drops away, we still do that. We can focus in on what we need to focus, and then we can zoom back, and it's like that. You just move through life in that way, and nothing is neglected. Everything is cared for in the same way, because it's all the same one thing.
Absolutely. You know, it's like now my webcam is seeing all of this around me here. If I was to put one finger up and put it right towards the lens would try to focus on that one finger, try to contract around it. The lens itself isn't changing, and the space, the rest of me hasn't disappeared just because we've zoomed in on this. And it just becomes clearer, doesn't it, that all we're doing is just learning to zoom back out again and be more aware of that. And then what's going on inside is just going on inside. Much easier.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. It's a lovely, one of the lovely things that happens with the group is that we get this kind of family feeling that builds over 4 weeks. And it's so, so important to have friends that support you, to have people that support you. And just want to say again, you know, if you're feeling you want someone to talk to about this course, not just you, Diane, obviously, but everyone, you know, we're all here to help each other. And what's the old expression? Wherever three or more gather in my name or something? Something like that, isn't it? The old something special happens. Two, right? Even easier then. Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Lovely. Okay, Bev? Sorry if I had to wait so long, Beth, but hopefully it's been.
That's okay. I've enjoyed everybody sharing.
It's good to see you. I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah.
I know you've been online, but you know. It's,
yeah. So I've been this past week experiencing, I guess, the shifting identity thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what kind of shifted me a little bit is, I think you used an analogy of like being on a mountaintop and imagining that I'm standing next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you're looking, and it's the ego that keeps trying to get there, or that's trying to climb up. And I don't know why that just like kind of just turned something different on inside my consciousness, but I had the experience this week of just being, you know, seeing my personality or the someone, not as separate, but just my identity wasn't in that so much. And
it's just how you're arising. You're here and you're arising as this personality and this person, this body and all of that.
Yeah. And it was just a completely different experience of me, I guess. And
so gosh, I always thought I was that person, right? And suddenly I'm just, wow. Yeah.
I mean, I had stuff to do this week. I had to do this this talk, which I get very nervous, and I take myself through some really crazy rituals preparing for things, you know, talking, that kind of thing. And I couldn't do it. Like, I just was like, I couldn't be, I guess because of that identity shift, I didn't have all of the angst and whatever that thing is that I do with myself. It just wasn't there. And there's a lot less self-judgment. There's no that backsliding feeling that you get when you slide back into the ego. It just was
when the ego's sliding back down the mountainside. Going,
I'm still standing up there and looking down, even when sliding down. Like, so I'm not doing as much, you know, desperate clawing to get back up, because I'm still in the identity, I guess, of the noumenon. And then I saw one, I guess Michael might have been interviewing you about, I can't remember which satsang it was, or I think it was just an interview. And you mentioned a contemplation of, I mean, you may have said something like, is it true that I can even think?
Mm-hmm.
And that too turned something on where for 2 days I couldn't think. The drama was blowing up around me and I couldn't think about it. I got nothing, you know, whereas I would have been, you know, taking myself.
It's just like, oh, there's just silence up there. Well, that's new. Yeah.
And, you know, and with it, there was a little bit of pressure in my head, but I was just like, I can't even, if I wanted to, I couldn't go there, you know.
Yeah. You're just incapable of contracting around a trigger or an object, right? You just cannot actually do it anymore.
Right. And that, and that's continuing somewhat. So I guess, you know, there's movement, and I just don't feel that, you know, my ego through emotion or thinking, it's not as easy for it to sort of hijack whatever, wherever I am in the moment. So it's been good.
It's good. It's just a gradual sinking into that. Sometimes there'll be noticeable moments where identity shifts back some into the noumenon, but more, it'll just be a gradual thing as well, you know, where it's just less and less. This thing happened in my life and there was just like no stressing about it. Like, wow, I didn't know I could go through this experience. Just like, okay, let's see what happens, you know. I mean, there's no way I could sit here and talk to 21 beings, or 20 except me, from the ego. You know, I'd just be terrified. I'd just be sat here like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But just from the noumenon, it's just happening, isn't it? It's easier, and all these little rituals and things to make sure I, you know, get it right, it just begin to fall away, because the ego's got this horrible idea somewhere that it's got to run our life, and we've been sort of agreeing with that. And it's actually, okay, let's just see what happens when we just step back a bit and, you know, see what wants to arise spontaneously, and it just happens to be the right thing that needs to be said or done. It's just so much more harmonious, isn't it? And you're not battling against anything.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Good. And hopefully very practical as well, with a busy life like you have, you know, it's more energy, more patience, more time, more love.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Very good. And thanks for sharing that. It's good to hear how you're getting on.
Thank
you. Okay, then we shall leave it there for today. Okay, so I will, this will be uploaded by the lovely Ian. Thank you, Ian. At some point soon. And I was supposed to announce something else.
Graduate program.
Oh, yay. Okay, thank you. There's been a couple of questions, if I can just take a few moments, a couple of questions about the graduate program itself. So I just thought I'd take a minute to explain. Totally drawing a blank here. Okay. So the graduate program is something that is not a replacement for the course, this course. And I would actually encourage everyone to take the course again, a couple of times at least, to deepen the seeing. The graduate program is really a structured way to study the deepest implications of the course, some of which we touched today, but also a structured way to continue to study this. And it's really for those that want to be totally free, like a sage, like to live how I'm living, basically, and that's possible for everyone. And really, the graduate program is a structured way to do that. So it's a once a month live session, which will be recorded where and uploaded to a page, members page, like we have for the ashram, that subscribers can see. It's each month I'll be leading a sort of a guided investigation where to go to investigate, like kind of like we did with Ian today, and how to come to a much fuller realization. Each of the lessons has a profound implication that may not be obvious initially. And then there is homework for those that want to do it. Not everyone is going to do it, and it's fine. Just to continue to investigate, to come to this full and final liberation, and a feedback form on the, a contact form like there is on our website, to put your observations and everything. And once a week, I'll get online and record a video for the graduate program, the people in it, with everyone's, I'll read anonymously everyone's investigations and their, you know, questions and challenges, and it'll be updated once a week like that. So we'll go for each week into a deeper and deeper seeing. And it's just, it's not going to be for everyone. It's just for those that really are just completely starving and want the full meal, the absolute full all you can eat buffet of this. And if that's you, it's you, and it's great. And so hopefully that I'm not going to be able to take emails anymore after this course. People can email me the next course in November, but I'm going to read them out anonymously and answer them. So it's the best way we can find to structure some ongoing study of the course, deeper aspects of the course, using books like Reality Check. And I'm actually writing a book now on causality, and then there's a sequel to, not a sequel, but a second, a deeper reality check, second reality check coming, which we'll use in a graduate program as well. So hopefully that explains. I just wanted to get this on the recording because there's been lots of questions about it, and I'm excited about it, and it's I don't see why anyone should not be able to achieve full liberation if they want to. I just don't see any reason why. And I can't kind of live inside myself that there can be any block for anyone to that. So graduate program is just a extra piece, icing on the cake, if you want that, and it's absolutely fine. It's £15 a month to subscribe. It's open now if you want to. You can subscribe even if you're going through the course the first time. The first meeting is on the 5th of September, but it's only going to be for people that have done the course, so that I don't have to keep explaining about causality so much and how to deal with emotions, etc., etc. So, okay, I think that's all I needed to say for this. I will see you all on Tuesday for lesson 4, the final. We saved the best for last, as always, with the course, and I always get really excited before lesson 4. So, lovely. Thank you very much.